Amen. Good morning, church. Can you all hear me? Cool. Thank you, Len. Right, so I'm going to be reading from 1 Chronicles chapter 21. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It's entitled The Census of Israel and Judah. Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. So David said to Joab and to the leaders of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba to Dan and bring the number of them to me that I may know it. And Joab answered, may the Lord make his people 100 times more than they are. But my Lord, the king, are they not all my Lord's servants? Why then does my Lord require this thing? Why should he be a cause of guilt in Israel? Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Therefore, Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. Then Joab gave the sum of the number of the people to David. All Israel had 1,100,000 men who drew the sword. And Judah had 470,000 men who drew the sword. But he did not count Levi and Benjamin among them. For the king's word was abominable to Joab. And God was displeased with this thing. Therefore, he struck Israel. So David said to God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I pray, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. Then the Lord spoke to Gad, David's seer, saying, go and tell David, saying, thus says the Lord, I offer you three things. Choose one of them for yourself that I may do it to you. So Gad came to David and said to him, thus says the Lord, choose for yourself either 3 years of famine or 3 months to be defeated by your foes with the sword of your enemies overtaking you, or else for 3 days the sword of the Lord, the plague in the land with the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the territory of Israel. Now consider what answer I should take back to him who sent me. And David said to Gad, I am in great distress. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great. But do not let me fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell. And God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. As he was destroying the Lord looked and relented of the disaster and said to the angel who was destroying, it is enough. Now restrain your hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Then David lifted his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord standing between earth and heaven, having in his hand a drawn sword stretched out over Jerusalem. So David and the elders, clothed in sackcloth, fell on their faces. And David said to God, was it not I who commanded the people to be numbered? I am the one who has sinned and done evil indeed. But these sheep, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray, O Lord, my God, be against me and my father's house, but not against your people, that they should be plagued. Therefore, the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go and erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. So David went up at the word of Gad, which he had spoken in the name of the Lord. Now Ornan turned and saw the angel, and his four sons who were with him hid themselves. But Ornan continued threshing wheat. So David came to Ornan, and Ornan looked and saw David. And he went out from the threshing floor and bowed before David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar on it to the Lord. You shall grant it to me at the full price, that the plague may be withdrawn from the people. But Ornan said to David, take it to yourself and let my lord the king do what is good in his eyes. Look, I also give you the oxen for burnt offerings, the threshing implements for wood, and the wheat for the grain offering. I give it all. Then King David said to Ornan, no, but I will surely buy it for the full price. For I will not take what is yours for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings with that which costs me nothing. So David gave Ornan 600 shekels of gold by weight for the place. And David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called on the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire on the altar of burnt offering. So the Lord commanded the angel, and he returned his sword to its sheath. At that time, when David saw that the Lord had answered him on the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite, he sacrificed there. For the tabernacle of the Lord and the altar of the burnt offering, which Moses had made in the wilderness, were at that time at the high place in Gibeon. But David could not go before it to inquire of God, for he was afraid of the sword of the angel of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Hello. Can you hear me? Okay. Thank you, Ollie, for the reading of the word. And good morning, everyone. Let's pray. Almighty Father, our Lord and God, we thank you for this wonderful morning. We thank you for your grace, for your mercy, and for your goodness. I pray that the words that I'm going to speak are going to be your words, and that you are going to be glorified, and that your people are going to be fed. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So today, I'm going to be talking about the character of God. I'm going to briefly talk about what happened to me, to the point where I needed to understand who God is and who God was in my life as a person and as a Christian. So I grew up in church. I went to Sunday school. I went to a young people Bible college. So I knew stories of the Bible. I knew about God. But I really never really put much thought into who God was as in my life. As in my life. And I also grew up within a community that spoke about God. So as you grow up and people are talking about God, you start to form a basis and a theology about who God is. So I think it's like us, and that kind of theology of what you think God is, it forms the basis of your relationship with him. For example, let's say, for me, my parents, I kind of knew like the difference between my mom and my dad. So for instance, if I wanted to do something a little bit risky, and I know that I needed permission, I wouldn't go to my mom. I would just go to my dad, because my dad wouldn't ask like lots of questions, and I would just tell him like just a little bit. I said, I'm gonna go outside and play. And then he would just approve, and then I'll go. And I'll just try to avoid my mom, because if my mom, like, if she sees me going out, she would then ask me, what are you gonna do? What exactly are you gonna do? And then she'll say no, so I'll just avoid it. So I think it's like that with God, kind of, as in, so the more you know him, that's the more you relate to him according to what you know about him. I think one of the stories in the Bible, we find it in Psalm 78, and it talks about the children of Israel in the wilderness. So it says that they didn't really, really understand God, as in God had delivered them so many times, but they didn't really believe in that deliverance. They did not really understand that character of God, that their God was a strong deliverer. So you will see that at some point they ran away from war. When the spies came also, they panicked, they gossiped, and they didn't put their faith in God. And this was the God who had delivered them, who had saved them, because they didn't really, really grasp us that God was a deliverer. So in Psalm 78, verse 41, it says, Yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel and did not remember his power the day when he redeemed them from the enemy. So it can be like us also in our life. And if we do not like really know who God is, we can limit God in some areas of our life. We may not include God in some areas of our life if we do not know whom God is in those areas of our life. Yeah. So if we go back to the story that Oli just read, it's about David when he conducted a census of Israel. So in this story, per se, there was nothing wrong in conducting a census. However, there was something according to the law of Moses. Moses had put a command of what you do in order to avoid a plague when you conduct a census for Israel, and that every man has to redeem himself. We find this in Exodus 30, verse 12. However, in this particular story, I think from what Joab's response to David, it wasn't about that. I think it was about pride, and also that David wanted to know the strength of the military of Israel. And basically, he was trying to rely on numbers rather than on God, because Joab says, "May the Lord add to his people 100 times as many as they are. Why should my Lord require this?" So even Joab, he knew that this was wrong and that David needed to rely on God. And he even tried to limit the damage that this was going to do by not even include some of the tribes when he gave the number. He did not include the Levites, and also he did not include the tribe of Benjamin. However, as this thing displeased God, David was given three options to choose from. So it is on these three options that I'm going to look at. So the first one was 3 years of famine. The second was 3 years while he was running from the enemy. The third was the angel of the Lord. So when I first encountered this story, I knew about the story about the angel of the Lord, what he did in Egypt. So that was never an option. I know it was 3 days, but I know what he does. And I was like, no, this is not a story. I wouldn't go with that. So David, there wasn't, God did not say, you're going to get killed. You're going to be running away from the enemy. So I was going to go with 3 months. But it was the reason that David chose this option. And David says, "I am in great distress. Please let me fall in the hand of God, for his mercies are great, but do not let me fall into the hand of man." Which means David decided to rely on that character of God, that his mercies are great. That his mercies are great. And in the end, if when we read the story, the angel stopped when he was over Jerusalem, God relented. So David relied on the character of God, on whom God was. So when I first heard this story, I struggled with it. I wrestled with it at the time, but I just put it just behind me. It's just one of these stories. However, in 2009, we lived in Putney. So what happened was my mom fell ill and she had cancer. The doctors gave her 2 to 6 months to live. So it was a tough time for our family. Everything was difficult, as you know. And I was praying to God, please heal my mom, please heal my mom. And I was offering God things that if you heal my mom, I would do this. Because I had built a theology that if you want God to do something for you, you had to give him something. I offered my tithe. I offered almost everything that I knew at the time that I could. However, she didn't recover and she kept getting ill and ill. I still remember one night, my mom was writing a will, and then I came and I spoke with my mom, and she was just trying to sort stuff out for us, what we need to do once she's gone. And that's, for me, that's when really the penny dropped that my mom is about to go. So I then went to my room and I said, you know, I'm probably need to offer almost everything to God for him to heal my mom. So I went to my room and I think I seen like Catholic priests when they lie down. I said, probably if I lie down and then offer everything, I'm gonna offer every, like my career, I'm gonna be a pastor. I'm just gonna offer everything to God. Probably he will heal my mom. And when I laid down to pray, I heard the voice of God. And when I was offering this, I then heard a voice right within me. And it says, what about my mercy? Immediately, I was reminded of this passage in which David relied on the mercy of God. And he says, what about my mercy? So immediately, I went on my knees and I said, God, I'm taking everything away, what I've said. You heal here according to your mercies, according to your goodness, according to whom you are. And then I stopped praying. I took, I ate some palm leaves that it got like faces. I took them and then I went to my mom again and said, Mom, you're gonna get healed. I know this time you're gonna get healed. She just looked at me like, really? And then he said, you need to accept. I said, no, you're gonna get healed. So I then went to sleep. And then 1 hour before I slept, my mom called me and she said, she's feeling breathless. I called an ambulance and then they took her to Westminster, Chelsea and Westminster Hospital. And then they started, because she was breathless, they started doing some tests. Because she had cancer and some heart problems, so they started doing some tests just to see what they can do. They already knew about her cancer and everything. So, however, they kept on checking because the tests they were doing, something wasn't right. It wasn't matching to her medical record. And they started doing the tests over the night and then during the following day. And they couldn't find the cancer. Her heart was ill, they couldn't find. She was in perfect health and they stopped chemotherapy and everything. So to this day, my mom is still alive. Amen. Amen. Yes. So it then made me realize that I was kind of working in order to kind of please God. However, I really didn't understand who God was, his character, who God was in my life, and that I needed to understand whom God was. And I needed to understand the goodness of God. And then I had to change my theology to relate to God. And one of the passages that really helped me in scripture, I'm gonna read it. It's gonna be Psalm 145, verse 8 and 9. Psalm 145, verse 8 and 9. It says, the Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. So the Lord whom we serve, the Lord God, he is compassionate and he's so much full of mercy. Even as Christians, we may fail. However, we still need to rely on God. So we do not have to wait to change our, we do not have to, as much as we're trying to do the right thing, we need to rely on the compassionate of God. We need not to wait to go back to God. Because sometimes what we do, I'll sort these things right before I go to God. As Christians, we need to run to God and to accept his goodness, to accept his mercies, his compassion is always going to be there. Even it doesn't matter like what you have done. It doesn't matter your past. I think the Bible also talks about another king. I think probably the worst king of Judah. His name is Manasseh. We find him in the book of Chronicles 1:33. He did all kinds of evil. The Bible said he filled Jerusalem with so much bloodshed. He practiced witchcraft. He built altars in the house of God, the temple that Solomon built. He went there and he started to erect altars for Baals, and he worshipped all the host of heaven. In the end, God sent the king of Babylon. He took him, and then he was put in jail. However, while he was in jail, he prayed to God, and God heard him. As you know, God is full of mercy, full of compassion, and he's a good God. He forgave him, and he took him out of prison, and he returned him to Jerusalem to be king. This is the God that we worship. He is good in everything that he does. I know that sometimes we go through valleys. Sometimes we go through places that are difficult. But we need to realize that we can go to God. It doesn't matter what things look like. It doesn't matter. We can go to God. And I'm just going to leave with this. Just two more verses. One of it is Hebrews. Hebrews 4, verse 15 and 16. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." This means that Jesus Christ, we can go to him. We can go to him when we need grace in our life, when we need mercy. We can talk to Jesus about anything. It's all about his character. He is good. He is good to all his creation, and he is good to us. He is good to you. He is good to me. He is always good. And he has provided this throne for us. We did not ask for him to provide this throne. He set it up himself so that each one of us can go to that throne and each one of us can obtain it. It's there. It's for everyone, and it's for everyone to go and get. He is there, and he is willing, and he will provide the help to each one of us. God is a good God. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Wow. We thank God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your mercy. And we thank you too, Lord, for the great testimony of your grace. And for the reminder this morning that you, Lord, come and desire our obedience, not our sacrifice. And that you, Lord, look for us to come to you to seek mercy and forgiveness. So, Lord, remind us through this message. Let it be hidden deep in our heart that we serve a God of mercy and of love and of grace. And Lord, for anyone today who feels that they have need to come back to that foot of that cross, to come back to that presence of Christ, may, Lord, you bring them, draw them to yourself by your Holy Spirit and by the Word of God, and bring healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as we continue to reflect on that amazing word, come, let us stand as we consider the words of our closing hymn this morning. Come.